Let us be still together as we prepare to worship God. Put the quote up, Sam, that's fine, thank you. Hear these words from the psalmist. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. We join together to sing, Christ be our light. join together to pray. Let us pray. We know their stories. Thomas the doubter, Peter the denier, Jesus the betrayer. And you, O God, know ours. You know our stumblings and outright failures. You know our secret hopes and silent dreams, and all that we share with no one, no one. You know our story and speak peace into it. You come to the places we hide and you call us out. You travel with us on roads of joy and listen to our breathless tales. You find us on paths of uncertainty and travel beside us, often unknown. You know our name and our story, and you call us your own, and you share with us your feast. Lord, we, your people, with our stories, come to worship you this day, knowing that we are known completely and knowing that we are loved. As your joyful, stumbling people, Lord, we come. Receive the worship that we offer this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Sally, I invite you to lead us.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. We're going to have a little fun. We're going to have a game, I suppose you could call it, and it's on the theme of fake news. You'll be pleased to know that I'm not going to attempt a Donald Trump impersonation. Thumbs up from Leslie there. Good. I'm going to read you some headlines, and I just want to ask you to kind of decide which are real and which are fake. So you can put it in the chat function if you want to. I won't be able to read everybody's answer out, but feel free to do that or just have a think about it. So the first headline is to do with the two supermarkets, Lidl and Aldi, which I'm sure, you know, there's often some competition between the two of those. But is this true or false, fake or real? The founders of Lidl and Aldi were brothers. So let's have a look. I'm just going to click on the chat. Would help. Okay, you've got a mix of views, true, false, fake. Fake. It's actually false. Yeah. I love the it's just a simple quiz and people going, oh wow! And I can see people going, ah, or yeah. Just a quiz, folks. Okay, it's just a quiz. And we'll get onto the more sensible stuff in a minute. Headline number two, Australia is moving north. True, false, true, true, true. Oh, we're siding according to the truth. Don't be put off by what other people are putting. Be your own person. Okay, the answer is, it's true. Australia is moving north. Some very excited people this morning. Headline number three, this one's for you, Leslie, in particular, and for people like Ray Erskine and probably some others that I've missed out. But Scotland's national animal is a unicorn. So you can type in your answers. Someone says that it's the haggis. So that'd be a great national emblem, a haggis. Most people are putting true. Okay, I shall tell you, it's true. I didn't know that. I didn't know that, yeah. So I expect there is a unicorn background filter on Zoom that you can have up. So I expect Leslie and Ray and people like that and to use the unicorn filter at some point during the service. So the next headline, I love this. This one is a great story. Lottery winner dumps $200,000 of manure on his ex-boss's lawn. I'm saying nothing. I really want to say something there, but I'm saying nothing. True. Right. Okay. It's false. I know. I thought you might... We're Christians, we're supposed to say that's really good that it's false, but there was an awful lot of disappointed faces. That's really mean. I would never dump manure on my ex-boss's lawn, even if I really, really wanted to. But I don't, obviously. Okay, let's be serious. How do we know whether something is true or false? Do we have a question? What people say to us, our teachers, our bosses, our family members, dare I say our ministers. Heaven forbid. Do you ever question whether someone is telling you the truth? What would convince you to believe that what they were saying to you is true? And a really tough question that you might like to consider is this. Today, we're thinking about Thomas, and he wanted evidence that Jesus was alive again. If someone asked you, what is your evidence for your faith, what would you say? Just a little challenge to leave us all with this morning before we have our Bible reading. Amen.
Thank you, Sally. So we have two readings this morning. The first is from Acts. This is a cameo of the Jerusalem community about a common ownership on an economic basis and the redistribution of goods for the poor. It's built on not just merely on the foundations of ideology, but also on the power of the testimony of the apostles, and also, it says, on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then from John, as we know the story of Thomas, the truth told by Jesus' followers is tested in such hostility. How is it to prove its integrity? How is it to prove that it's actually worth anything? And Thomas' experience suggests that the believers aren't so gullible as to accept things without question. He's often nicknamed the doubter, as if he were in two minds. But the story suggests that he wants things to be tested so that he may believe. Abby is to read the passage from Acts, and then Nick Robinson, the passage from John.
Good morning, everyone. Today's reading is from Acts 4, verses 32 to 35. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them, all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Amen.
John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31, reading from the Good News Bible. Jesus appears to his disciples. It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. Then Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive people's sins, they're forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Jesus and Thomas. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands and put my finger on those scars and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were together again indoors, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Then stretch out your hand and put it in my side. Stop your doubting and believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Do you believe because you see me? How happy are those who believe without seeing me?" The purpose of this book. In his disciples' presence, Jesus performed many other miracles which are not written down in this book. But these have been written in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through your faith in him, you may have life. Amen.
So happy Easter to you. I'm Leslie Charlton. I'm one of the ministers of Kingston United Reformed Church. We are still celebrating this season of resurrection. And if we can do anything for you, let us know. In fact, if you're just getting in touch, let us know that you are. It'd be great. Two readings today, Acts 4, verses 32 to 35, and John 20, verses 19 to 31. Please read them and then come back in. Is there any sentence in the whole of the English language more irritating than, "You should have been here, it was great"? We've all heard it, and it doesn't bring us forward, it usually makes us dig our heels in and makes us rebel. And that is certainly what happened to Thomas. So Easter, this is the order of things. In John, in the early morning, Mary came to the empty tomb. She runs to get Peter and John. They see and they believe, but what they believe is a moot point. They go home and they lock the door. They're frightened. Mary stays. She encounters Jesus, who first she thought was the gardener. Mary, the first apostle, goes and tells the disciples that she has seen the risen Lord. In the evening, still locked away, the disciples gather, and Jesus walks through the walls and appears to them. Thomas isn't there. And he demands to see and touch the wounds of Jesus before he will believe. And it doesn't happen. If it doesn't happen, then he's not going to believe. And a week later, again, locked away, Jesus appears. And he offers to talk to Thomas his hands and his side, and he presents his wounds. And Thomas does an 180 turn, and now he believes. He declares the divinity of Jesus. Mary Magdalene saw the empty tomb. She stuck around and she encountered Jesus. The disciples believed, but it says they did not understand the scripture which says he must rise from the dead. So I wonder what the disciples thought had happened. There are levels of believing. Most of these holy believing disciples lock themselves away. They are frightened. They are scared disciples. Thomas, though, has jobs to do, or people to meet. He goes out. Is he as frightened as the rest, but brave? Or is he foolish? Jesus enters the room and breathes the Holy Spirit on the disciples and brings peace. In the other three Gospels, the Synoptics, the Holy Spirit comes in public. Here, it is intimate. They have the power, yet it makes little difference to their behaviour. What are the disciples waiting for? Why are they hanging around? Why do they not go home? There's nothing to see here. The show is over. Clear off back to Galilee. No, they wait. Thomas says, unless I see, I will not believe. That's true for Thomas, and it's true for many today. Readers of the Gospel in John's time and in our time cannot see the signs of Jesus in the way that the disciples did. But they are written in the book so that the reader may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. So how are we to share our truth? Or for many, could it be that we need to delve into the resources that are ours, not merely to read it with our eyes and with our head, not merely to explore it with our hearts, but both, to study the scriptures with our whole selves, and certainly not to discard it and put it on the too hard pile. The other challenge is, what are people to see? The Bible, the words of the truth of the scriptures, yes, nothing to see here, the show is over. But that would be a denial of the breathing of the Holy Spirit and a denial of the reality of the church. There is something to see. There are the scriptures, as I said, and also that something, the collection of people that make up the church. That would be us. The way we behave, the way we spend our money, the way we spend our time, our attitudes to those on the edges of society. In the first century, clearly there was something to see, the early church. The way people held their goods in common is a big sign. The poorest of among them were looked after. The church is always caught in a conundrum between the right things to believe, which is orthodoxy, and the right way to behave, the right practice, which is orthopraxis. Many people think that what church is about is getting together and discussing what we believe. But here is the news. The rubber hits the road. Trouble happens in the church where people do things together. When they debate about what they believe, everything's fine and dandy. People might think that we spend all our time talking about the finer points of the faith, but actually, it's about rude messages and job contracts. It's about what colours shall the walls be painted. And drum roll please, who is paying for it? Because I sure as hell am not paying for that. Whatever that is. To be a community of mature people who deal well with each other, when we come from a range of places, with a whole range of different life experiences. Now that would be something that people would see and they would believe. Big question. Has it made any difference to us during lockdown that we are people of faith? Anyway, sadly, we all know from our reading of Acts that quickly the people of the early church take their eyes off Jesus and put their eyes on their wallets. The church is a collection of sinners. The resurrection stories in John with the encounter with Thomas remind us that Jesus is risen with his scars. With his scars. For most of us, our scars are not physical. They are mental and they are social. I remember the day when I was doing an exercise class and I was had a bag up and I was punching it without gloves. And the next day I had bruised knuckles. And I spent the whole day sort of moving my hands around like somebody who's newly engaged so that somebody would ask me about my black and blue knuckles because I'm so hard and so cool. Sadly, nobody did. But our intimate, personal bruises, we're less ready to tell others about, although they do show in the way that we behave. The church is always, always was, always will be, in all its manifestations, a collection of sinners. And the body of Christ is a wounded body. And Jesus comes from death and is still marked by the scars of what has happened to him, as we are, as we always will be. What we need to know is, what are our scars? And that's what maturity looks like. You say this to me, and I can feel my dander rising, and I say that to you, and you can feel the same. This morning, as I was getting ready to put this sermon together and I read the paper,
there was a story about a man who'd just been imprisoned because he had killed his wife because they had had a fight over frozen chips. Not so. It was something that was said and his scars were knocked. The question for each of us is, what are our scars? Easter life is not the life that says eggs, chocolate, flowers. It's the life that says death is swallowed up in victory. That means we mention death.
And then we go on to bring good news. We talk about the scars as we get to the table. His body is broken. Brokenness is part of the deal. Death is real and still has been overcome. And the good news is, as the body of Christ, we do not have to pretend and hide who we are. Our wounds still have a place. Why didn't Jesus get rid of his wounds in his new resurrection body? Simple. Because they matter. Resurrection belief challenges us to see life in the marks of excruciating death. Amen.
So let us pray. Risen Christ, when we find ourselves behind closed doors, come and be among us. Where there is fear and anxiety, where there is violence and where there is distress, where there is anger, where there is hurt, where there is lack of self-knowledge, where there is doubt and where there is uncertainty, where there is injustice and where there is destruction, where there is loss and where there is grief, and at this season we particularly pray for Her Majesty the Queen and her family on the death of Prince Philip. Risen Christ, too often we close ourselves to the world, too often we make safety our priority and our focus, our emotional safety, as well as our obedience to the rules. Come, fling wide the doors. Lord, challenge us as individuals and as a church as we move forward to be more welcoming. Challenge us to live a life that makes people wonder about you. Challenge us to become light to a darkened world. Lord, we pray. Amen. So we have a church meeting today after this service. Please, everybody's most welcome to stay. It's a social time, so it's a time to reflect and to think together. We've got a set question that is really, really tough, and Martin's been working and working and working his fingers to the bone to work it out, how he can find something so difficult that won't even be able to... Well, I'm lying, you know that, don't you? But it's a time just for us to think and reflect together. Today, there'll be a service at 5 in the church building. We're moving towards setting up a group for confirmation. If you are not a member of the church and you think that maybe now would be a good time for you to become a member, and that's me not saying, so therefore you've got to come into the building at 10 o'clock, at 11:30. No. We will be continuing having church online in some form. And if that's how you have engaged with church, then please know that this will be how our lives will be from here on in. So if you are interested in becoming a member of the church online, as well as being in the building, great. Christian Aid Week approaching, 10th to the 15th of May. There won't be a door-to-door collection this year, but there will be the possibility of delivering some envelopes so that people can return them to you so that they can make a donation online. The main fundraising activity you will be hearing loads about. It's about a collection of idiots carrying some buckets round and round in hugely time-consuming circles, busting their backs and their arms. That's just me getting the whining in advance. And so that the gifts will be online, please. But another activity will be Christian Aid Week quiz on the 15th, please. Please come. Everybody's welcome. Invite your pals. Come on. It's a good quality quiz. Can't tell me your friends haven't been getting together for Zoom quizzes. It's another option. Come in. And this year it'll be great, Richard, man. It'll be just fabulous after last year's hideousness. There will be body and soul tomorrow, body and soul activities. Now, let me tell you, exercise class, that if you're thinking to yourself, I cannot do an exercise, you can do this exercise class sitting down. You can do it standing up and leaping, but you can also do it sitting down. So maybe it'd be a good start for some, I don't know. This, tomorrow also, I'll be sitting by my phones 4 till 6, waiting for me. Just phone me up for a chin wag. Wednesday starts the Bible study, starts again, looking at the Acts of the Apostles. If some of the things that we've raised this morning already have made you wonder about Acts, and in fact you don't know about it, now's your chance. Thursday soiree, do you remember that? Happens at 8 on the Thursday. That's an option. Coffee mornings, of course, happen every day. Prayers, currently 2. We're thinking about moving them. If you've got a view, let us know. Have you seen the Easter banner? You've seen some of the pictures as we gathered to worship. If you go for a walk into Kingston, you'll see this thing in its fabulousness. Did you enjoy the jokes?
Some of them, yeah.
Did you enjoy
not
the jokes?
Nick's. Not
Nick's. That was Ray being just the noises off. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm going to send it out to you again. Just a bit of daftness in a grey world. If you need me, get in touch. I'm going to move to dedicate the offering, and then we will move into our Holy Communion. Do I need to remind you of the fact that there are still bills to be paid, ministers of religion to be kept in luxury and idleness, the gold taps and the jacuzzi and the manse? Still we have our obligations, and so please, if you have money that needs to be collected, let us know and we'll come and collect your envelopes. And if you know that you should be given online and you haven't done it yet, ask and we will help you sort it out. But for now, we bring bread and we bring wine. So let us pray. Grace and peace to you, Lord our God. The grace and peace we share come from you. We praise you, giver of gifts, for what we have through the faithful witness of Jesus. We confess that we've often struggled to receive and to share your gifts. In our giving, we don't use grace and peace. We don't recognize you and we are measured. But you are God, whose giving to us is overflowing. So may these gifts be poured out for you, and may your grace and peace continue to transform our lives. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hear the gracious words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come to me, all who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away. And hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by the Apostle Paul. I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So in the name of the Lord Jesus, and following his example, we take this bread and this cup and we give thanks. Let us pray. God of the multitudes, you have brought us together as a community of faith from all places and all peoples, all times and all tongues, and you have placed us in fellowship with one another, with those who are like us and those who are different. We share communion through time with the witnesses of your resurrection, those who saw and believed, those who doubted, those who spread the news, those who hid. Fill us with your Holy Spirit as you filled your disciples, despite their faults and fears, so that we can boldly proclaim the good news of your kingdom life through our everyday living. And may your people, dwelling together in unity, display your love and your grace so that others may come to believe, and through their believing have life in you. And through the power of your Holy Spirit, may these gifts of bread and wine be transformed to speak to us of things that are eternal. That this bread would be for us as the body of Christ, that this wine as the blood of Christ. And broken and shared, may the reminders of Jesus dying on the cross and raised to new life broken for us and risen, a spiritual power forever. Blessing and honour, glory and power be to you, our God, for now, forever. Amen. He took bread, he blessed it, he broke it and said, "This is my body, it is broken for you." And he took the wine, a symbol of blood that would be shed, and said, "This is my blood," he said, "it is shed for you." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. So let's pray. Loving Lord, you come to us through the locked doors of our hearts, breaking through our defences, meeting us where we are, offering us peace, the peace which comes from God. We praise you for your persistence, continually seeking us out, transforming us by your presence. We praise you for your persistence when we are slow or stubborn, as you come to us in new and surprising ways. We praise you for your constancy, always there for us when we least expect or deserve it, revealing your generous love for us. Resurrected Christ, restore our confidence to call you Lord and broaden our hope in your risen power. Lord, we pray. Amen. We're going to sing our final hymn, "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace."
Thank you.
So go in peace to love and to serve the Lord for now, forever. Amen. So please stay if you can for our